We are studying together the seven statements that Jesus made as he hung on the cross. This is the second statement. The Word of God says, "There they crucified him and two others with them, one on either side and Jesus in the midst." I would like for us to study these two men, one on either side. Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23? Luke chapter 23. What do we see? When we look at this scene where Jesus is being crucified, and there is a man on this side being crucified and one on this side. The message is about Jesus, but we're going to focus looking at these two and see what we can learn about God and about truth and faith. First thought. We see two men who are both in the same condemnation. Luke 23, look at verse 40, the last part of it. "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" That's what one of them said. Don't you realize we are both being condemned? Both of these men, Matthew and Mark call them thieves. Luke refers to them as malefactors. Isaiah 53, when it discusses the crucifixion scene, says Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. So he had a sinner on either side. Three men on crosses that day. Two were completely guilty. One was completely innocent. Two were paying their debt to society. One was paying our debt to sin. So our first thought is we see two men who are both in the same condemnation. But I got a second thought. We see two men who both asked Jesus for salvation. Both of them wanted to be saved. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. No, not both of them. Only one. Hang on. Both of them asked for salvation. You say, I didn't know that. Let me show you. Look at verse 39. Luke 23. "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him," Jesus, "saying, 'If you're the Christ, save yourself and us.'" Did you see that? He said, "I want to be saved." Now, did you know that you can ask to be saved and not go to heaven? That man said, "I want you to save me. Save both of us, will you please? We want to be saved, Jesus." You say, "Wow, I didn't know both of them wanted to be saved. I thought only one did." No, both of them. He asked to be saved from his situation, not from his sins. He wanted to be saved from the punishment for his crimes, not from the punishment of hell. Oh my goodness. How many people do you know who they want to be saved from their circumstances? Oh God, help me. Yeah, oh yeah, church. Well, maybe I'll go to church if that can help me to get my finances straightened out, or if my family or whatever. Stop. That may be the result of salvation, but that's not salvation. You're trying to get out of your circumstances, the pain and suffering that you may have created yourself or other people around you. This man, that's what he wanted to be saved. Jesus, if you're who you say you are, would you save us from me from this? Not hell. He wasn't talking about eternity. He was talking about his circumstances. That's the one. But the other. Look at verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Oh my. Wow. By the way, I always try to put myself in these people's place. Do you think it was easy for that man to believe in Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't think it was easy for him to believe. I've had some people say, thief on the cross, I'll just wait to the end, and he didn't do much, and he got to go to heaven. Think about it. We don't know for sure, but I doubt that that man had ever seen Jesus do a miracle. I mean, the life he was living and the crowd he was hanging with and the places he was going, I don't think he was following religious people around or some Messiah or prophet. I don't think he'd ever seen a miracle. I doubt that he had ever heard a sermon from Jesus. He may have, but again, the life he was living. With that kind of lifestyle, I don't think he would have known one of the Old Testament prophecies about the crucifixion. I think if you ask that man, did you ever study the Old Testament? No. I drank a lot. I did all these. No, I wasn't religious. And he was looking at a weak and dying Jesus. But he believed that Jesus, that there was a kingdom coming, and that Jesus Christ was going to be the king of that kingdom, that new world, that eternal place. Did you see what he said? "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he wasn't talking about here. He was talking about over there. And I say to myself, I think that man believed a lot. Did you notice that? If somebody says to you, the thief didn't really believe much and he got to go to heaven. Stop. He feared God. I mean, because he said, don't you fear God? So I have a question for you. Do you fear God? Now somebody, before you take that and say, I don't think we should be afraid of God. I didn't say afraid of God. I said, do you have a holy respect for Almighty God? Are you kidding? I am preaching about God. I'm preaching from God's Word. I'm preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not realize there's a humble submission that I have at this point? Yes. I do have a fear of God because I want to please Him. Someday I will stand before Him, thankfully, but someday I will give an account. And if you don't know what the judgment seat of Christ is, That's where every one of us will be called before Jesus Christ to give an account of the things, the scripture says, the things that we have done in our body. Whoa, that's here. I will have to give an account as to what kind of pastor I was to you. He feared God. He believed in the sinfulness of man. He said, we deserve this. We deserve to be condemned. By the way, he also believed in the sinlessness of Christ. He said, this man hasn't done anything wrong. He knew that much about Jesus. And he called him Lord. He didn't turn to him and just say, hey man, can you help? No. Out of fear and reverence, realizing who Christ was, he said, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He believed in a world beyond this one. Wow. We see two men who are both in the same condemnation. We see two men, both of whom asked Jesus for salvation. But one wanted to be saved from his circumstances. The other wanted to be saved from his sins and from hell. And third, we see two men who would eventually die. And one, we know, went to heaven. How did that man know he was going to heaven when he died? Because look at verse 43. Jesus said, and Jesus said to him, so here comes our statement. Jesus finally speaks. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Oh my goodness. How did that man know for sure he was going to go to heaven? Because Jesus told him. Do you know how I know I'm going to heaven? Not because you think I'm a pastor or you're, well, you're a pretty good guy. It's because God tells me and you. So if somebody asks you, so how do you know you're going to heaven? Don't ramble. Just say, that's what the Word of God says. If I do what the Word of God says, I'll go to heaven. If I trust in the Lord, Jesus Christ is my Savior. By the way, Jesus also just told that man, because crucifixion sometimes went on for days, he just told that man, you're going to die today. Today, you'll be with me in heaven. Now I have a question for you. What if you knew for sure that you were going to die today? We found out recently in our church family, he was fine. He went to bed. Ed Crow. His wife thought he just was sleeping and sleeping late, and he was gone. So that's a valid question. What if you knew that you were going to die today? That man knew that he was going to die that day. That might change your lifestyle and your perspective on things, don't you think? By the way, we've learned something. I say these two men both would eventually die, and one we knew went to heaven. What does this teach us about how to get to heaven? The thief that went to heaven teaches us something about how to go to heaven. First, salvation is an instantaneous act, not a process. You say, what do you mean? At the moment that that man believed in Jesus and turned to him, said, Jesus said, today, that man was a sinner put on that cross on his way to hell, and now, instantaneously, at the word of Jesus, because of what he said in his heart, he's going to go to heaven. You don't work for your salvation. If you think that following the Ten Commandments will get you to heaven, you're wrong. First of all, you'll never be able to keep them. But you don't get there by works. Salvation is an instantaneous act. Let me quote. This is John 3:36. Jesus speaking. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Abides is in the present tense, which means he lives under the wrath of God constantly. But at the moment you believe, Jesus said, you have everlasting life. I sometimes have said this to people when they say, well, won't it be wonderful when you get to everlasting life? When I was a grade school boy, and my family not going to church and all of that, and they took me and dropped me off in Sunday school, and I heard the gospel and got saved, at that moment, I started everlasting life.
That's right.
I'm not going to die.
That's right.
Isn't that wonderful? So it's not a process, and it's certainly not by works. Here's a thief who went to heaven and he wasn't baptized, confirmed, or even enrolled in the church. He had no moral character to claim. He didn't have time to do any good works. He did no penance. He never confessed his sins to a priest. He didn't even ask the Virgin Mary to pray for him, and she was standing by the cross. Whoa! I mean, is that profound. Ephesians 2 says, and you know this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation also, it's not instant, it is instantaneous, not a process. It's not by works. This thief teaches us that salvation produces a changed life. You say, well, that man's life wasn't changed. Hello, hang on. I've got a passage for you. In fact, I'll let you look at it. Put your finger here and turn back to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark 15. Verse 32. Mark 15:32. Look at the last part of verse 32 of Mark 15. Even them or those who were crucified with him reviled him. Did you notice it said those? The King James says, and they that were crucified with him reviled him. They. Not just one thief. They both, in the early hours or whatever of the crucifixion, they were reviling Jesus. I always look up thoughts that are parallel. Some translations say they were heaping insults on Jesus. Can you picture that thief up there and the other one on the other side cussing Jesus? One translation says they were hurling abuses at him. That thief was cussing Jesus, hanging on the cross, but he gets saved and puts his faith in Jesus Christ, and guess what? His life changes. He says, "Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom." So his life did change. How interesting. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. First, he was cussing him. Now he's trusted him as his Savior. What a difference in that man's life. And by the way, the last thought on this, that thief, salvation should be confessed publicly if we get the opportunity. Did you know? He obviously gave a public testimony of his salvation. What he said to Jesus could be heard by the other thief and the mocking crowd and a bunch of hard-hearted Roman soldiers. That thief got saved, and Jesus said, today, can you picture Jesus turning his head and saying, today, you'll be with me in paradise, in heaven. By the time the veil in the temple was rent in two to symbolize our access to the throne of God, this man was already walking triumphantly through the gates of glory. Can you picture that? By the time they took his crucified body off of that cross, and what they did with him, they threw him in a garbage dump to be cremated in the Valley of Hinnom near Jerusalem. He was already walking streets of gold. They pitched his body in the garbage, but his soul, Jesus said so, was already in heaven. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. No wonder we sing, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." Okay, Lee, let's sing that thing. Come on. We got to sing this in closing. And by the way, when you're singing, I have a question for you. We don't have the names of either of these thieves. They're unnamed. So my question is this. Which one are you? One thief was saved, someone has said, that none may despair, but only one that none may presume. Do you know for sure that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to save you from your sins and hell so that you'll go to heaven? Don't leave here without making that decision. Thank you.